Hello and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada, and with me to break down college football week four, James Bitter. James, how we doing?
The pick's not so good, but myself, very well.
Yeah, you know, what does Austin always say? Marathon, not a sprint or whatever dumb thing he adds. But yeah, I am the complete opposite. I'm doing well. My picks are and Fuego. I'm scrolling up our spreadsheet and it's a lot of green for me. A lot of green for me. So feeling good about that. Last week, what happened last week? Kansas grabs another win. I always kind of laugh about this stuff. Like, you know, the team that gets ranked or that doesn't get ranked number 25. Like, sure, I'm sure it's cool for the team and for like Kansas fans. But like the same people who complain, like, "Oh, why is Kansas not ranked in the top 25?" are the same people who's say how meaningless like AP top 25 rankings are. Like, why do you care? You're just wasting so much energy doing this.
Well, I agree, but like for a program like Kansas, that's a huge deal.
Oh, I mean, no, I would understand like Kansas fans and Kansas players being like mad about that, but it's just
man. I mean, they got that chip on the shoulder. That's why they're going to win again this week. They have to be ranked if they win again.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. This is a substantial step up in competition, I think.
Yeah. But it's going to be a raucous, sold-out crowd at home, man. Those Jayhawk fans are showing out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm still just kind of stunned that we're at this in this point in time where Kansas is a wagon. I can't believe it.
Hey, man, I told you they're going bowling before the season. They're going bowling.
Check the tapes.
Favorite win total. I've cashed in the third week of the season. Not often you could say that.
No, not at all. All right. But college, what else happened last week? I'm trying to remember.
Miami, the hurricane before the hurricane.
Yeah, that's. Some have said that Miami's future performance brought upon Hurricane Ian, but, you know, who can say? James, well, yes, we all won there handy. Not really handy, but it was a great game to watch on ESPN+.
They actually should have won by,
way more. Oh, their post-game win expectancy was like 80% or something crazy like that.
Well, they gifted App State 14 points and just went down 23 for fun.
Yeah. Scrolling here, like Georgia struggled a little bit. I'm not worried. Bama
rolls. I was just going to say, they also only beat Samford 31-0 in like week two. When they play these terrible teams, I mean, they don't show up.
Yeah, they mail it in a little bit for sure.
Yeah.
Ohio State dominated. They were up, what, like 31-7 after the half?
Yeah.
Did you think they were going to like beat them by more, if weirdly?
I actually bet them minus 18.5. I told one of my roommates, I was like, you know, like this is a really bad version of Wisconsin this year. And Ohio State's still Ohio State. Like they got the athletes. And all I heard was it's a Big 12 or a Big 10 game. Wisconsin's got like these guys and they're just going to keep it close and slow the clock. They just don't have the athletes. Ohio State's kind of getting into form. And I thought it might be worse if you just watch that first half.
Ohio State really took their foot off the pedal. Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I think actually, from what little of the second half I watched, I thought that Wisconsin defense just looked better, but it could have just been Ohio State not using the good plays, you know? Michigan also had to survive a little bit, but it was a backdoor. I wouldn't really say it was a close game at any point. Other than the first quarter, but and then I think like Oklahoma goes down, Clemson almost loses, USC almost loses, A&M plays a close one, Tennessee actually I thought Tennessee dominated, but Florida just kind of like
the end of the game was crazy. I didn't see it until the next day, but Tennessee did dominate that game.
They were winning comfy the entire game, and then there was like Florida just went on a long drive, but it was a good day. I've got a Bo Nix take that I'm just going to get off my chest real quick. I thought he was, like, incredible last week. Minus one throw, which we all know and expect it. He's going to do something absolutely dumb. but I will give him full credit. They scored 29 points in the fourth quarter to win and come back. One of that was like a pick or a fumble six, pick six, something like that. But it was good. It was impressive. Oregon's really good. And it makes me like that more impressed with what Georgia did. So this is a perfect segue. Rank your top five, James. Top five teams in the nation. You want me to start?
Sure. Let me think on it for a sec.
Georgia, number one. Still most talented team. They are getting healthier. Eric Gilbert practiced. He is deemed day-to-day. A.D. Mitchell, outstanding receiver, practicing this week. I don't think he's played the last 2 weeks. Arian Smith, this is the big one. So people thought he was going to be out until like week 10. He's the fastest player on the team by far. He's their deep threat return man. He is like so, so crucial to like the ceiling of this offense. He's practicing. He's actually likely to play this week. And Jalen Carter has played like hurt on an ankle the last 2 weeks, but they really have like limited his snaps. He's the best player on the team, bar none. I think that like even more so than Brock Bowers, which is saying something, but he's a potential. I do think this is worth betting on. I was just perusing a website and they had number one draft pick odds and he was 35-1. And I think that's a really good bet. I know it's a great quarterback draft, but if there is any sort of player next to Will Anderson to kind of pop up and steal a spot, it's him, just because of how dominant he is on the field in terms of production. And he's a physical freak. And, you kind of get the high floor football talents or like skill talent too. So I think that a team like the Bears, who if they get the number one pick, I would be kind of shocked if they took a quarterback. I also wouldn't put it past them. But if they want to go defense, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter seems pretty possible to me. More and like 35-1 is you're paying the tax there, so you'll get paid for it, if that makes sense. But moving on, my second best team in the nation is Ohio State. I have swapped them and Bama. They are getting healthier. And the offense is insane. Had the Heisman front runner. Defense is looking better. They still do the thing where they allow very explosive plays, but teams are no longer just running all over them like it happened last year. So defense is coming into form, which is big. Number three, Bama. I've been vocal about it. Nothing really changed last week. It was more so Ohio State playing very well. And Bama is also getting healthier, but JoJo Earl has to be a lot better than what he's been. Not that he's been bad, just, we need to see the potential kind of show up a little bit to shore up the receiving room. He's also a really good return man, and he will be very valuable there. And then they got issues on defense. Pass defense is not what it's been. So very curious to see what happens in this Arkansas game, because I think Bama should obliterate them. But I don't know if Arkansas has a good, good little game plan. Maybe it plays out differently. Michigan is my fourth team. It's kind of static for me here. I just don't really think a lot has changed. JJ McCarthy has been pretty good too. Stat lines haven't really reflected that, but offense is fine. They'll finish drives soon too. I'm not worried about that. And then fifth team is Tennessee. I'm sticking with them here. Hendon Hooker's really good. I don't think he's great. And they have skill talent everywhere. So Tennessee's one through five. Georgia, Ohio State, Bama, Michigan, Tennessee. James, what do you got?
I got Georgia. I'm going to flip Ohio State and Bama. So I got Bama 2, Ohio State 3. Four. See, four is just a different echelon team in my mind. I think you'd agree with this as well. I think there are three teams mm-hmm. with like a legitimate chance to win it. Four. I'm going to go USC just because I love their offense so much. I really have concerns about that defense. It hasn't reared its ugly head yet, but they have had a lot of turnover luck to this point. But I think that offense is just a unit. And five, I got Michigan like you. Like you had them at four, I got them at five. Yeah. Same reasons. So that's where I'm at.
Well, USC's defense is pretty bad, but they're pretty good against the pass. Like, the secondary is pretty good. They get a decent pass rush, but they are so bad against the run. So bad. Which was why I was, like, weirdly, but, like, impressed that they held Oregon State to 14 points, but still not impressed enough to where, like, okay, this is changing. So, I don't know. They'll be interesting to follow along, because that offense, I think, is generational. That's talent on it is insane. Also, shouts to Oregon State for holding them to 17 points. That was impressive. But let's get into some bets. James, I'm going to let you kick it off. Let's see if you can reverse your fortunes a little bit. What do you got for me?
All right. So my biggest play this week is going to be Georgia minus 27.5. It's currently sitting at 28.5. Bet this one Sunday or Monday night. Another angle I like this
week. Would you play it at 28.5?
Yes. I'd probably look first half in that one. If it's 17 or probably above 17. Either way, I think I'm going to split this up and go first half whole game. What I saw from Georgia and like what I've heard afterwards was kind of some disappointment with how they played and some along the lines that this won't happen again. For those of you who don't know, Kent State was pretty competitive against them and held to within a couple of possessions despite being outgained by over 300 yards. I don't see any reason to worry if you're a Georgia fan. It's just like a typical like letdown game. Come off a beatdown of South Carolina. You get home, you're playing Kent State. It's a little bit of a flat spot. And then on the other side, Missouri is just so bad. They went down to Auburn last week. They were catching 7 against a team that didn't have a quarterback and just got embarrassed at home the week before. I just think this line is honestly a little short. Georgia was just minus 24.5 at South Carolina. And if South Carolina played Missouri on a neutral field, I promise they'd be favored by more than 4 points. And in addition to that, Missouri's biggest recruit in years is now transferring out. What's his name, Chaz?
Luther Burden. Did he actually enter the portal?
I don't know, but it's a lot of cryptic messages and stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, Luther Burden.
Yeah. Anyways, I just think Georgia's going to boat race them here. I think they hop out early, do whatever they want. Then the second half, it doesn't really matter. By that point, the game's more than 4 possessions. This feels like Georgia, like 49-7, something along those lines.
Yeah, no, I agree. He has not entered the portal yet, but and he is questionable this week, which is but he did the scrub your Instagram thing that everyone loves to do. I might do that just to see what my girlfriend says. What do you think? yeah, I have no real issues. I think it's just going to be an angry team. First half, I love. First quarter, too. Could see them up like 21-0 first quarter. That would make things pretty easy, don't you think?
Oh, I'd like that start.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go to this wonderful state of Wisconsin, and I'm going to fade. And with a team that I think we both talked up and complimented quite a bit so far. I bet Illinois plus 8. And I think I'm going to stay away from a money line bet, just save my money. I'm going to be wasting money elsewhere in the Midwest. So we'll get to that when I get there, but I just think that one of the things I love is the fade the team after they play one of the big boys. So you know, your Bama's, Georgia's, Ohio State's, and so we get Wisconsin off the a physical Ohio State game, and like you mentioned a little while ago, Wisconsin just is not as good. They lack some of the talent that's made them great. Defense is not as talented. And Braylon Allen is still good, but I just don't trust that offense whatsoever. And Illinois' defense, I think, is awesome. I think they keep within the 8. It's way too big. This should be under 7. I would play it 2-7. So thoughts here? Oh, you bet this too. Cool.
Yeah, I got a worse number. I bet it at 7. It's still at 7. I would still bet it for all the reasons you said. I just don't think Wisconsin's good. And the Brett Bielema revenge game, you also missed.
I did miss it.
You did, yeah. But I think Illinois is strong enough in the trenches to keep this one close. Definitely within a possession. I think they're probably pretty live.
Cool. All right. Now we get to go to where I'm going to waste some money. And who else would I rather waste money with than Georgia Tech? My squad, I thought about going first half money line just to relive the glory days a little bit. But unfortunately, I'm not sure that's a That's where I'm going here. They're getting, I bet them plus 23 and I bet them on the money line. So Georgia Tech, they just fired their coach and the interim coach is talking about how they're going to play way faster, way looser, which I like, especially with a running quarterback. I hope they just turn to the fastest tempo in the nation. They're not unskilled. Like they've had decent recruiting classes. So I'm not super worried about that. Not that they're great recruiting classes, but for that level of program, pretty good. And then is this not just the game that Pat Narduzzi lays a massive egg here or what? So
that's anytime he's favored.
Anytime he's favored and expectations are just so low. So give me Georgia Tech plus 23 and then I bet plus 1150 for a little bit. So there's I'm back with my Yellow Jackets. It feels good. Feels good. Your thoughts here?
I'm going to bet this one as well. You have to go first half money line, just tickle it for old time's sake. I looked up the box score the last time you called Georgia Tech money line first half. It was 52-7 Clemson at half.
Yes. The game was 7-7. And when Jeff Sims threw an 80-yard bomb to Jahmyr Gibbs, and I thought it was happening. And then I think Clemson then scored, 63 unanswered points.
Yeah, that's what it looks like here.
Yeah.
Anyways, no, I totally agree here. Georgia Tech now without head coach Jeff Collins, and they fired their AD as well. I think you get a one-week bump here. And if you look at Pitt's results and who they've played, kind of a soft schedule outside Tennessee. But against Western Michigan and Rhode Island last week, they failed to cover this number. You can't tell me, like, I know Georgia Tech's bad, but you can't tell me they're worse than either of those programs. So I think three possessions here, Georgia Tech should keep it within that.
One more thing about Georgia Tech is that they've just been leaving so many points on the board. And I think they're going to be a little more aggressive here where, like, they've been punting from, in their opponent's territory. And you have the red zone and the green zone. When they get into the green zone, which is, like, inside the opponent's 40, I think they are some crazy, like, last 2 weeks they were, like, 2-for-13 in touchdown conversions. And, like, that's just going to regress positively. So I think it's just a great, perfect buy low point. 23 is huge. That's, like, they don't have to win the game. That's just me being greedy. But that's a big, big number for not a great offensive team to cover. So Georgia Tech plus 23. Let's make it happen. Jimmy, you want to take us to Blacksburg?
You mean Chapel Hill?
Oh, is UNC at home?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I flipped it. Yeah. So the total in this game, first of all, I'm on the over 51.5 here. The total is open, I think, 57-58 and took a ton of steam because I guess Saturday, Carolina is supposed to be the eye of the storm. But looking at the forecast now, yeah, there's rain all day, about 50% chance, but the wind's only 10 miles per hour. And I think that bodes well. I think we're buying this total pretty low. I mean, any Carolina total in this range should just be almost an auto bet to the over. Carolina couldn't stop the run against Notre Dame, and they made Notre Dame look like an NFL offense. Virginia Tech's offense is also just an abomination, but they can run the ball, and that's kind of their identity. And you know North Carolina can't stop it. Last week, Virginia Tech also gave up a ton of yards through the air against West Virginia and made that West Virginia passing attack look pretty formidable. You know UNC's got the guys, and Drake May's a dude. So I think they score here. In a game that's just taking so much steam to the under, I think at some point there's got to be some buyback. At 51.5 and the weather not being crazy bad, I think that's a pretty good number and a pretty good bet here to go over.
So as of 14 hours ago, it's still looking like impacts are expected, but I think we're just going to see, or this is from Raleigh, but it's just looking like it's going to be a little bit less than like flash flooding, likely the biggest threat. So, I mean, obviously that's bad, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not the...
Well, when the game kicks, it's like 50% chance of rain and the wind's around 10 to 12 miles an hour. I'm sure the field will already be soaking wet, so there's going to be a lot of slipping, which is also good for an over. It goes both ways. Wet ball, don't know. But, I mean, a total this low for a Carolina game just isn't right. This is the same total Virginia Tech had against West Virginia. I that like in no universe are West Virginia and North Carolina like the same offense and like the same total type of team.
Yeah, I fully agree. And though especially with wind dying down from the night before. So I love this. I bet this too. I think this
And this is another one where you wait and see too. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
If the weather actually is as bad as it was projected earlier this week, and it's just rain all day and there's crazy winds, I think Virginia Tech plus 8.5, 9, or even like a moneyline tickle is definitely worth a play here too.
Yeah.
All that hurts Carolina's offense and really would have play into Virginia Tech's hand.
Totally agree. I think that's a great look. We're going to go Friday night real quick. Houston is laying 2.5 hosting Tulane. And I think this is just a great buy low opportunity for Houston, who I think was deemed or at least they were looked upon pretty highly entering the year. And excuse me. I think the kind of like that, this is, I think it's just my buy point. And Tulane's been good. They were, I think by, you know, smart people, they were deemed a pretty good bet on team just because they had a bunch of
close losses last year.
Yeah. Close losses and last year.
Guys returning.
Exactly. And I think we're just going to see a little bit of a talent edge here where Houston minus 2.5 wins out. I'm going to say this though, and I'm going to need you to hold me to this. If I lose another Houston bet, granted we did win with Kansas, but if I lose another Houston bet, I need you to stop me whenever I start talking about Houston. Okay.
All right. I can hold you to that.
That's your job. That's your job.
All right.
But yeah, so Houston minus 2.5. You any thoughts here? Nothing.
Not much. Tulane had a bad slip up at home last week, but I guess that's probably pretty predictable after you come off a win at Kansas State. So yep. I don't know what that means for this game, but
it was unlucky.
No opinion.
I think they had some turnovers inside who they play.
Southern Miss.
Southern Miss's territory. But they had, I think, 80% win expectancy, so a little unfortunate, I guess, but they should still be beating Southern Miss by a lot more than that. So
yeah.
You know what it is. Let's go to Oxford. Ooh. Kind of disagree with this a little bit. You like Kentucky plus 7.
Yep.
Expand on that for me.
I just think Ole Miss is getting a little too much respect here. Grabbing a full touchdown with Kentucky seems pretty valuable. Kentucky coming into the year was one of the teams I was looking to fade. I actually bet their win total under plus money. Felt pretty good about that. They haven't really done anything to make me think they're better than I thought. The win at Florida is pretty impressive. It was also lined right around this as well, but Mark Stoops is just a really good coach when you're an underdog, especially getting around something like this. And Ole Miss's offense hasn't shown me a ton this year. Yeah, they've kind of played a bunch of cupcakes, but they haven't put any ridiculous numbers up like they have in years past. I've been more impressed with their defense, quite frankly. They almost lost outright to Tulsa last week. Again, they could be looking ahead there, but I just think 7's too many here. Back in a good coach in the spot. It's 6, I wouldn't play it, but the full 7 is just so valuable. This is definitely worth a play for me. And it'll be a nationally broadcasted game too, so it'll be on the screen. I'm going to bet on it.
I think I just think Ole Miss is so, so, so much better, and I kind of think Kentucky stinks. I know they get Rodriguez back, but I don't know. It's the offense isn't great. They, like, Northern Illinois played them pretty well. The score was not as close, or the game was not as close as the score made it look, but I think struggling to move the ball in Northern Illinois has caused for some concern. And I don't know if that's just Kentucky playing conservative or what, but I think that Ole Miss is going to be able to run the ball a little bit. I think that people are kind of freaking out that Jackson Dart isn't just like lighting the world on fire because he's playing for Lane Kiffin, but they've just changed the offense where their running backs are so good, their O-line is so good that they don't have to, you know, go super pass happy, and then Kiffin can kind of pick and choose his spots. Zach Evans is looking like one of the best running backs in the country. So I'm not betting Ole Miss, but I would certainly lean in that direction. Who does Ole Miss play next week? Not that they're looking ahead.
No, Kentucky's number 7 nationally. That's just a mistake.
Oh, no, they're not.
At Vandy.
Not. At Vandy? Okay. I think now would actually be a pretty decent time to because they get Bama at home. So I think now would be a good time to bet Mississippi to win the East. Or was that the West?
West.
West. Just because I think they've got the talent to do it. And I just kind of feel like I don't know. I think Lane beats Saban in one of these next few years. And I think this year he's got the team to do it and the defense to do it, even though they looked pretty bad last week. But Tulsa's offense is super, super good. And then they had to kind of change their defensive game plan mid-game when a backup came in. But, yeah, I think, like, anything like 40-1, 50-1 to win the SEC, or, you know, a 15-25 in that range to win the SEC West, that's something I would target for some Mississippi futures. All righty. We're off to Minnesota, where I am playing Purdue plus 13. And it's just me thinking that Minnesota is a bit overvalued right now. They have been in full credit to them. They're destroying the bad teams. And they beat up Michigan State at their place. So I think there needs to be some respect given to them. But this feels a little rich. Purdue is banged up, but Aiden O'Connell is going to play. He did not play last week. And I just think that they showed that they are able to stop a really good power run game against Syracuse. And I know they lost that game, but they lost because Garrett Schrader was making plays through the air. And I don't think Tanner Morgan's going to be able to do that, especially without his best target available. He's out for the season now. So Purdue plus 13, I find very valuable.
I kind of disagree, but not to the point where I'd bet you on it. Purdue looked pretty bad last week against FAU, almost lost outright, but
quarterback didn't play though.
Oh, that makes sense. I didn't check that. But, I mean, you're definitely getting a pretty good buy low, sell high here. I could definitely see 13 being pretty valuable, but just a total stay away from me.
Yep, feel that. Moving on to, wow, you like Temple. You like some ugly ones right here.
I told you.
Why do you like Temple plus 19?
Because Memphis is on my fade list, and they can't keep getting away with this. Last week, I bet North Texas plus 12.
Getting away with it?
Yeah, it's like the Jesse Pinkman meme. They were outgained by North Texas and almost covered minus 12 via two pick sixes. The week before against Arkansas State, another crazy box score. They keep laying these big numbers and not covering. I think Temple, I mean, listen, Temple is just downright awful, and I don't want any part of them, but getting 19 is just too many. Three possessions is too much. Memphis isn't that good. This is worth something here. Give me 19. I bet it 20 and a half too, so I like where it's at. Like my bet.
All right. I can get behind that. I don't know. I guess I don't know enough about Memphis to really have an opinion. It's been one team that I've just completely chosen to ignore this far in.
Dude, they were outgained by 140 yards last week and almost covered minus 12. That's insane.
They won by 10, right?
They won by 10. It took a North Texas backdoor to get there.
Oh, geez. North Texas isn't too bad. Where am I looking? Mississippi State minus 3.5 is a play of mine. They are hosting A&M. I think that A&M, they're just kind of dropping like flies. Their second best weapon, Anaya Smith, he's out for the season, and that's the last thing that a poor passing team needs. Just your gadget player, your arguably your best receiver, just that guy not being able to be used anymore. That's going to hurt a lot. And I think Mississippi State's offense has been off to a fantastic start. And, I've won back-to-back A&M bets the past 2 weeks, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I was completely deserving, especially last week. So if they feel a little lucky to me right now, I think this is a good time to hop off Mississippi State minus 3.5 for me. Thoughts?
I'm pretty indifferent on this one. Over a field goal, I'm just definitely going to stay away. I just don't really trust Mike Leach laying points against like a, I don't want to say like a good coach, but a team with this much talent. I tried that when he played LSU a couple of weeks back, and I got burned. Throughout the years, it's like the same thing. It's like it's a good spot for them. It just never feels like it actually hits. So I'm just gonna stay away, but I'll root for you.
Cool. And then we are going to, is ASU at home?
No.
Okay. So ASU is on the road at USC. They're getting 25 and a half points. And you, my friend, like the Sun Devils. Tell me why.
I do fear the fork. Just too many points. If you played this game probably 2 weeks ago, I bet it's around two touchdowns. I think losing Herm Smith is a positive for ASU. There were reports that he had staffers leaking like what they were going to do to opposing teams. So I mean that just can't be good. There's probably some sort of internal rebellion. And like you alluded to earlier, USC's had some trouble stopping the run, and ASU's got Emory Jones and some decent running backs. If you're going to keep USC's offense off the field, I think you stand a pretty good chance of staying within 26 points. And it could be a little bit of a flat, a flat spot for USC too, coming off that big win against Oregon State, even the week before against Fresno. Fresno's supposed to be really good, and they just kind of disposed of them. But I think a couple of things kind of bode ASU's way here, and getting 25 and a half is probably just a few too many.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also it's this is still a talented team. I know they had some like some people transfer out, but they were getting like decent recruiting classes under Herm, and much of that talent is still there. So I think this is a good spot. It just feels like, especially in toxic environments like that, you just got to feel like a weight's been lifted off your shoulder. You'll play more freely. I think it's a good angle. My final play is hurricane affected, but current forecasts are saying that it will not be affecting this game. And there's going to be, or currently, there's not supposed to be any rain, and it's only going to be 10 mile an hour winds, which that's fine with me. Is Wake Florida State over 63 and a half? This opened at 68. And I just think that's come down too much. I'm not gonna go there. But like Florida State's gonna be able to run the ball all over Wake no matter what. And they're gonna get a lot of points doing that. And so even if it's like a little more windier than expected, I still think there's an avenue to some points for Florida State. So if we do get a little more win, I think Florida State team total over is still in play. And I just don't really believe in either defense that much. I'd be pretty impressed if either defense shuts the other down. So over 63 and a half just feels too small. And both these teams just love to run too. So Florida State, Wake, over 63 and a half.
I lean there with you. If I had any play in this game, though, I'd probably look at Wake plus seven. I think Florida State is getting just a little too much love. I think they've covered every game now. Maybe they didn't cover against Louisville. I don't know. But I think the market's just valuing them a little too much. And I'm skeptical still. I think this is year 4 or 5 of Norvell. And we've never seen him laying a number like this against quality opponents. So we know Wake's going to be good. I don't think they'll be flat after last week's game. At least I hope not. Getting 7 here seems like a pretty good bet.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I just don't want that much invested in a
Yeah.
potential hurricane game, I guess. Just betting. I'm betting against the weather people. I mean, how often are they actually right?
True.
That's all for me. Anything else? Anything causing you pain in the college football world?
No, not really. I mean, my picks have been pretty bad, but I had a good week last week. It's just what I tweet out is just not good. I gotta find like the happy medium where I can find some winners and still have a good week.
We should start on Sunday. Let's start tweeting out like the openers we play, things of that
Yeah, I
nature.
like that.
All
That's
right.
good.
They'll give us some excuse because I too like I'm just not going to tweet out something like if I beat a total by 3 points.
Oh yeah, I feel
I'm just
terrible
not
for
going to
you.
be
You only have 10 units.
I just.
Whatever you're doing must not be working.
Yeah, I just feel like a big dickhead if I bet something
Yeah,
that over 60 and it's 64. And I will say, I don't tweet out the bad numbers too. I think I've tweeted out a couple rough ones. There's one in particular that I had it really bad, and it bet like a 7.5 and it closed -7.5 and it closed like -3 or something like that.
Oh man, what game could that have been?
I don't know, but I probably won it. I'm just kidding. I'll have to find it. Maybe I'm mixing it up with something else. Anyways, follow us on Twitter at the Sharp Side Pod. Rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz. Thank you guys for listening, and let's go win some money.
Thank you guys.